Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Long time no talk. How is everybody feeling today? Guys, today's podcast is going to be about mental health. And this is a very, very timely topic for myself, and hopefully it is for you as well. You know, the way we all process trauma, or the way we all process different events that occur in our lives, are of course all going to be different. And that depends on what you're going through. That depends on how you handle what it is that you're going through. It's very multifaceted. And unpacking, you know, a topic like this is, you know, I can be here for hours, but I'm not going to do that. I am going to just skim the surface if I can. I was just thinking to myself, how is it that I handle, you know, stress and frustration? And I know that I'm the type of person where I tend to shut down and reflect, and I need the solitude to myself because I need to be able to regroup and make sure that that, you know, doesn't happen again. I'm the type of person where I'm all about preventative measure. I don't like to make the mistake all of the time to then find out that I shouldn't have done something. I would simply rather, you know, have avoided it if someone maybe had warned me or told me something. But obviously, that's not always going to be the case. And so, for many of us, I think even, you know, in this, you know, pandemic, this quarantine still, maybe some of us are still quarantining, you know, maybe some of us have decided to go out more now that things are opening up. It's just such an interesting and sensitive time still. And I feel like, you know, this whole year essentially has been this never-ending wave of giving us the ability to reflect and think, and also, you know, even discover some passions that we may have not been able to tap into prior to quarantining and pandemic times. And so if you were to break down mental health into, you know, your family, your, you know, spiritual well-being, you know, your relational well-being in terms of, you know, your relationships, your friendships, and your partnerships outside of your family dynamic. How do those things affect you? How does your job, your career, where you are in your life, how is it affecting you? Are you unhappy and so you are overeating? Are you unhappy so you are, you know, drinking in excess? Are you unhappy so you are resorting to smoking and doing things, you know, like that? What is your coping mechanism? What are you doing to deal with these issues? But it's not dealing with them, is it? It's band-aiding them. And I also am the type of person where I would rather suffer through the pain of something than to try and numb it. I don't know why I'm this way, but I've naturally been that way. I mean, even if I have a headache, I just refuse to take something unless if it's absolutely unbearable, then I may. But I also seldom get headaches, so I'd just rather, you know, suffer through it. But not everyone's the same, and no one is better because they are responding to, you know, a certain situation differently. I think we all just need to learn about ourselves and discover more and more about ourselves so that we can handle the crazy things that life throws at us in a healthy way. And you know what? From my own experience, to be transparent, I still do have the tendency to shut down. And there are times where I channel that into working out and doing a lot of self-care, and I have to take a break from my channel, and I just need to, like, you know, restore myself. And I have a lot of moments that are like that, to be honest. And if you've been following me for a while, you would know that by now. So I'm super grateful for the people that are so understanding and so encouraging, and I feel like a lot of you guys definitely have been. But at the end of the day that I know I can identify what, how I handle, you know, stressful situations and frustrations and things like that. And the growing pains of not, you know, numbing yourself, it's very hard. I mean, when you come to the realization that, okay, I'm going to refine myself. I want to be a quality queen. I'm going to stop hitting up this guy first all the time. And then you realize 2 weeks go by and you haven't spoken to this guy. And you're just like, wow, okay, so what I was thinking was actually true. And I am the one that's watering a dead plant here. And that is the moment right there where you decide, okay, do I find a reason to talk to him again? Or do I suck it up so that I can go through this pain right now of accepting what is, and I just force myself to move on? Or do I keep on going, you know, circling the drain here? And let's be real here. A lot of the times when we learn a lesson the first time, or maybe we don't learn the lesson the first time, when we identify what the issue is the first time, it's not always enough to teach us, because the first time you're almost in a state of denial. And this goes for any sort of, you know, stressful frustration situation that you may be enduring. It's like, wow, I can't believe this is actually what I was thinking. Let me just go back into the situation. Maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe it's not what I thought. And boom, you go back in, you try the same thing, second time, third time. And it's a very, very slippery slope between when is enough enough? When is enough enough? When are you going to stop compromising what genuinely is making you happy? It's going to be uncomfortable, but you have to go through it, because when you think about how great you're going to feel on the other side of the situation, and sometimes maybe we can't even picture what that's going to feel like, I can almost assure you that the suffering of going through the struggle and enduring the pain of whatever it is that you're going through is going to be worth it. It's going to be worth the pain, the crying, the uncertainty, the confusion. It's going to be worth it in service of the bigger picture. You're going to be stronger with all the things that you're enduring. It's building your character. It's building your self-esteem. You are strong. You can do this. You can do this. You can get through so many different situations. Think about this right now. Think about a situation. Think about a guy you thought you couldn't live without. Look at you. You're living. You're breathing. You got over the situation. You were able to find someone else. And yeah, maybe that next person isn't your husband or isn't your current boyfriend. But the point is, you got over something that you swore at one time you couldn't. Life is here to teach us so many different lessons. And this is why I said, even in my last video, I'm practicing the art of being attached to nothing and connected to everything so that I can appreciate the experiences that an individual, you know, gives me or that I have for that time being. But I don't want to dwell on it if it didn't work out and go crazy and obsess over it. But a lot of the times we don't realize that our ego is in the way of so many things. We become defensive. We become reactive. We have thoughts of comparison, scarcity, you know, feeling less than, you know, we judge others to elevate ourselves. We engage in arguments or we try to manipulate certain situations to get a certain outcome. And what I want you guys to understand is that healing isn't fixing yourself. It is discovering yourself. That's what I really want to get at. Mental health is so important because it bleeds into every other area in your life. I promise you that. It is all connected. It all stems from somewhere. There is always an answer. Nothing is out of the blue. And the more you numb yourself and you always return to your vices, you will never be able to heal and discover yourself. You'll never be able to do it. If every single time you get into a breakup with a guy, you're on to the next one immediately. You're never going to know what it's like to be single so that you can learn to coexist with yourself. Everyone needs solitude. I don't care who you are. You need solitude. You cannot keep jumping from one good feeling to the next feeling to the next feeling to the next feeling. That's not how life works, because in pain and in the growing pains, like I said, that is where the character is built And I need you angels to understand this because it is such an important part of your journey to not try and skip this struggle. And it's uncomfortable. I'm currently going through growing pains in many, you know, different areas in my life. And I feel strong and weak at the same time. I do. I feel like I become wiser after every, you know, little situation that I reflect on. I genuinely do feel wiser. I feel like I'm becoming more of myself than I ever have been. And it's a continuous journey, of course. And it's not a one size fits all. And I really want to stress the importance of this because having a mentally sound, being emotionally sound, mentally sound, spiritually sound is so important. These things and your health, your physical fitness, these are things that are worth more than money. You can have all the money in the world, but if you aren't healthy, if you aren't mentally sound, emotionally sound, spiritually sound, it means nothing. It means nothing. And when you heal, as you're discovering yourself, you're healing, right? Because you're realizing, oh God, ugly parts, you're having to unlearn and learn. There's so much you're unpacking all at once. It's overwhelming. I understand that. I get it. I'm going through it. You're not alone. Everyone's issues are paramount to them. Everyone's. I think it's important that when we are healing ourselves, we understand that we need to be less attached to our opinions and less drawn to proving someone wrong or proving anything to anyone. When you are healing, you become aware of how you speak to yourself, about yourself, and how you speak about others. You're more aware that you cannot change, control, fix, or save anyone. This isn't our role. I consider myself to be an instrument in helping people, especially women around the world, in their refining journey. I'm just a part of their journey along the way. If you discover me, it's meant to be that we cross paths, that you watched my video, that you subscribed to my channel, that you're listening to this podcast right now. It was all meant to be. And what we don't realize is when we don't fix whatever's going on with us, these inner childhood traumas, they become a part of our adulthood. And I really want to stress this because I don't feel like mental health gets the attention that it really deserves, because a lot of us have so much toxic behaviors and tendencies that we may or may not be unaware of, and we don't want to sit in the pain for a temporary time to unlearn these things and to discover ourselves to ensure that we are not putting these things on other people. Now, how do they manifest into other people? What do I mean by that? Okay, you didn't get enough attention at home. So in your friend dynamic, you're always the one that's seeking external validation. You always have to be the center of attention. If you're not, you get jealous, you get upset. That's another way how, you know, your childhood trauma or your childhood situations are bleeding into your adult life and negatively impacting your friendships. If you grew up maybe in a single parent home, maybe your father was absent in your life, you're searching for a father figure in the men that you date. And I've heard this before. We tend to date the people that remind us of our most difficult parent. And I know you're like, wait, what? No. No, we actually do. And think about this. And the reason why we do this is because subconsciously we are trying to redo the dynamic because we feel like we have control over the situation now. Now we are choosing to deal with this individual and we can alter or manipulate how things are going to be played out because we feel like we are in control. But really what that lesson is there to teach us is how to eliminate that trauma completely, or even better cope with that trauma, that stress, that frustration. Think about your attachment issues, if you have any, your abandonment fears, your codependency issues. These are all factors that play into your mental health. A lot of the times people want to be saved, and I think we all kind of endure that, where we kind of feel this entitlement to certain individuals because we feel like, hey, like, why didn't you do this for me? And why weren't you there for this and that? And it's like, when we come to terms with the fact that we are our own rescue, it is so freeing. And it really just is, it's as simple as this. We have to do what we have to do so that we can do what we want to do. We have to put in that work. We have to be able to identify the wounds and not band-aid them, but actually take care of them. Heal them from the inside so that they don't resurface and warrant the same triggering responses over and over again. And two things that I really want to talk about, because I really do feel like they really impact how people are in their adulthood, is a mother wound and the father wound. And I got this actually on Instagram. I follow this Instagram page called The Holistic Psychologist. I'm literally going to read it verbatim. The mother wound shows up as lack of boundaries and sense of self, engaging in savior behaviors, fixing, rescuing, or controlling others, body shaming, unconsciously making choices to gain your mother's love and approval, feeling threatened or competitive towards other women, feeling unworthy of creating a life on your own terms, playing the role of the peacemaker or rescuer. And she goes on to say that the mother wound it's an invisible wound that's carried down from generation to generation. And because the first, you know, woman that we have a relationship with is our mothers, our lives do depend on our mothers. So we do internalize our parents' voice, their beliefs, their shame, and we carry that into our adulthood and repeat the cycle. And what I love that she says is healing involves developing spiritual and emotional autonomy. When we have the courage to do the inner work and reflect and reconnect to our own voice, values, beliefs, true desires, and needs, in the process, we release our childlike fantasy about who our mom is, and we have clarity and we are able to reclaim ourselves. And the father wound manifests as performing or achieving in order to be loved, a core belief of feeling unworthy or not good enough, seeking validation, approval, and sense of self through other people, codependency, unconsciously choosing partners that mimic the conflicted father-child dynamic. Inner child fantasy, hero worshiping a father in order to protect from acknowledged pain. So as children, she says, we are in an egocentric state. This period of ego development means we do not have a full concept of who we are. During this stage, we believe everything happens to us because of us. So if we have a father who's unpredictable, abusive, resentful, or abandons us, we internalize that belief that we caused his behavior. We do not have the ego development to see him as a human with his own trauma, issues that drive his own behavior. Our core belief becomes something is wrong or unlovable within me. And so his behavior becomes personal. And until we do the work to develop our ego, become more conscious, we will spend our lifetime performing, desperate to gain the connection we will never get from him in nearly everyone we meet. This is why, when we don't get this connection, it is so deeply painful. We are experiencing childhood wounding in the present. Heal your inner child trauma. Guys, this is so important. I'm actively doing this myself. And it's very, very eye-opening, and it's hurtful, and it's weird. It's a bunch of things. It's an amalgam of so many different emotions. It's almost inexplicable. To say the least, it's definitely overwhelming. You are going to repeat these patterns, these unhealed, you know, sides of yourself into your adulthood, into all your relationship dynamics. Your mental health is important. You have to, at some point in your life, prioritize your mental health. You will continue to numb yourself with so many different vices, whether that's serial monogamy, whether that's promiscuity, whether that's excess drinking, whether that's drama all the time, you're always in a situation, whether that's constant comparison to other people's lives and who you think is better than who, and you're super opinionated. A lot of the times, I believe that people that are super opinionated are that way because they are almost afraid of not being heard for something. And they always feel like they have to say what it is that they're thinking because their word isn't truly valid. Somewhere along the line, and I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know, but I'd like to think I am. I feel like people that are super opinionated probably grew up in an environment where nothing they said really mattered. They're trying to cultivate that sense of power by always having something to say about something. They feel like they almost can't have something to say about a certain situation because they don't want to not know something. They need to have their voice heard. They need to feel like they said it first, they heard it first, they know what they're talking about, their word is gold. I don't know, but I'm sure there somewhere along the line, there is some sort of correlation in that respect. Mental health check, Angels. How are you feeling mentally? Even if you're tired, it's because your body needs rest. There have been plenty of days in these past couple of weeks that I have literally slept all day. And I learned and I trained my brain to not feel guilty for sleeping because I'm not intentionally sleeping for no reason. I mean, how can you force yourself into sleep, you know, organically? I don't really know about that. Obviously, my body needed the rest. And when we rest, our bodies are able to restore. And these parental dynamics and these inner childhood traumas are so important because unresolved trauma makes us seek romantic partners to repair our parental relationships. I'm sorry, there is no other way around it. None. So we engage in fixing or saving, even if we see all the red flags, because red flags feel like home to us. And I read this on that same Instagram that I was talking about, and it really resonated with me because I realized that every, you know, romantic dynamic that is unhealthy stems from some sort of unhealed childhood trauma. It just, there is no other way around it. And I think it's also important to understand that healing requires us to ignore the opinions of others to connect to the voice we forgot on our own. As I'm on this journey of, you know, growing myself and transformation, I feel like, as I've said in the beginning of this podcast, that I am returning to myself. I don't even know how else to explain it, but that's literally how I feel. What are some signs that you are doing the work, right? You're able to reflect, you question things rather than react. You're aware of your ego. You understand people project their own trauma. It is not personal. You now see your parents as human beings who are just repeating what they've been modeled. Relationships are ending, shifting, changing to create deeper connections. That's how you know you are on the right track. So even in times when you feel like you are burning out, you don't have the energy, pay attention to that. Your body is trying to tell you something. And understand the difference between accountability and self-betrayal. And I talk about this on my channel as well. There is no greater, you know, horrific feeling than self-betrayal. Because it's so easy to forgive others, or it's easier to forgive others than it is to forgive ourselves. Every time you do something that you genuinely do not want to do, that's not serving you, you're staying in this relationship, you're in a career that you shouldn't have been in, it's going to bleed out. Your mind, your body, your soul is deeply longing for you to walk in your divine purpose, for you to tap into your intuition, for you to pay attention to what feeds your soul. You're going to live a life of low vibration because you're unhappy. Happy people simply do not do certain things. I don't care. They just don't. Happy people don't bring people down. They're not constantly comparing themselves to people. They're not trying to, you know, manipulate certain situations. They're just not going to participate in things like this because they are happy. And when you are truly happy, foundationally, internally. All the external validation no longer matters. You have to look at your relationships as reflections of your internal world. You have to be clear about your boundaries and your needs. You have to practice being conscious of your ego. You have to reflect on the energy that you're bringing into every situation. You have to have the understanding that you have a choice in how you respond to any situation. Because like I said in my last video, we can't control the storm from coming, but we can control how we react. That's it. Focus on what you can control. Feed your focus, starve your distractions. I hope you angels have enjoyed this podcast. I mean, I feel like there's so much to unpack with mental health. I could literally sit here for hours, but I hope that in what was discussed in this episode that it resonated with you and that you were able to have an aha moment maybe here or there and really just start to discover yourself so that you can heal and just check in with yourself to identify how are you coping with certain situations and really stop and just start to reflect. That's the only way you're going to be able to have a genuine healthy life and take accountability. So, my angels, that is the end of this podcast episode, and I will see you guys in the next one.